Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
Episode 9 of Season 5 of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. I'm your host, John Hansen, and we are on Season 5 where we're talking about the NABBA Mr. Universe, and we're up to Episode 9 already. This is Part 2 of our interview today with Roy Duvall. We talked to Roy last week, and Roy won the 1974 NABBA Mr. Universe in the amateur division, and he competed in that contest probably about 10 times as a professional, and then he also did the Masters when he got older. So Roy has a lot of history behind him and a lot of great stories to tell. And in part two of our interview today, Roy's going to talk about competing against Sergio Oliva at the WABBA contest, the WABBA, which was run by Serge Noubre, and he did one of those competitions. And he's also going to talk about competing in the 1980 Mr. Olympia, the infamous Mr. Olympia that Arnold won the seventh time, and there's always still a lot of controversy about that. So Roy's going to give us his view of that contest, because after Roy won the 1979 IFBB Mr. Universe in the middleweight division, Roy turned professional, and he competed in the IFBB for a few years, and one of the shows he did was that Mr. Olympia, and coincidentally, he stood right next to Arnold. He was, I think, number three in the lineup, and Arnold was number four, so he got a chance to stand right next to Arnold as he won his seventh Mr. Olympia. So that's going to be a great interview with Roy Duvall. I want to mention we are brought to you by Redcon One. At Redcon One, everybody wants to be a champion. Everybody wants to be the best. But at Redcon One, they believe in working hard to achieve your goals. Whether you're killing it in the gym or running a six-minute mile, Redcon One has something for those willing to put in the work. They have a premier clinically dosed pre-workout called Total War that is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And then after the workout, you can fuel your body with the revolutionary MRE. This is the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs, and carbs coming from sweet potatoes and oats. And it also contains 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. It's the best tasting complete meal you'll ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And because you're listening to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, you can enter the discount code LEGENDS and you'll get 15% discount off your order. And I just saw on Aaron Singerman's Facebook page that they are about to release their MRE bar, which is going to be at the Arnold Classic, which is this weekend coming up in Columbus, Ohio, from March 1st through the 4th. So that is coming up in only a few more days, if you can believe it. And we're also brought to you by Old School Labs. I've been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements to the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They are the brand I used to win the Masters Natural Mr. Universe contest in 2012. They're also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, who is the new 2017 Classic Physique Olympia champion. And Breon is going to be going into the Arnold Classic this weekend, competing in the Classic Physique division. So he's got to be the favorite going into that. We wish him the best of luck. Hopefully he'll get another championship. They also sponsor Sergio Oliva Jr., one of the top pros in the world. And they're also associated with Samir Benoit, 1983 Mr. Olympia. And the legendary Tom Platz is on board, and Rick Drayson also. So Old School Labs has got all the old legendary bodybuilders, including myself. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 when you go to oldschoollabs.com, and you'll get 12% off their order. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. And make sure to check out their Vintage Brawn protein. This is a protein powder that uses whole food protein sources for their protein, including beef, eggs, and milk. So you want to check that out. I've been using that for the last few months. I really love it. All right, this weekend, I, of course, won't be at the Arnold Classic. Unfortunately, I was going to go. I had my hotel and everything all ready, but then I got an offer to come out to the One World Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and give three seminars. I'm going to do three seminars on the secrets of natural bodybuilding. So that'll be coming up this weekend. I leave on Thursday. And then the conference takes place from Friday to Sunday out in Colorado Springs. And if you guys are interested in that, if you're out in the area, go to the website, which is AAAI-ISMAFitness.com. And that stands for the American Aerobics Association International and the International Sports Medicine Association. That's AAAI-ISMAFitness.com. So I will be out there. I'm really looking forward to that. And I've been working this week on my new book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder. So I'm hoping to have that out by March 1st. We just got to get the cover and the editing is all done. The pictures are added, so it looks really good. This is my journey as a natural bodybuilder. So I talk about all the competitions I went in from 1991, when I went in my first natural bodybuilding contest, until 1998, when I won the Natural Olympia out in Greece. And I talked about the training routines I used, the diets that I used, what I learned from each contest. Sometimes I hit my peak, sometimes I miss my peak. So it's a really eye-opening book for those who are into contest prep, who compete as natural bodybuilders, or even don't compete as natural bodybuilders. I think you'll really learn a lot from this book. And then the end of the book, I talk about the type of training you should do, how you should add isolation exercises pre-contest, how much recovery you need, how much cardio you need, what type of diet you should follow, what type of supplements you should take, what you should do pre-contest, the week before the contest, on peak week. So it's going to be really interesting. Be sure to check that out. If you're interested in getting on the mailing list for that, you can email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com, but it will be available at amazon.com, or you can order directly from me because I will also have some copies. Just like my other two books, Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends, Volume 1, and the MP6 Workout, those are also available on amazon.com. And if you want to order both of those books for the discounted price of only $40, you will get my free ebook, which is called Training Methods for Gaining Size. So for $45, you can get both books, including shipping and handling, and you'll get my free ebook, Training Methods for Gaining Size, if you want to order that directly from me. And again, you can just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com. And I've got my new website up, dadbod2ripbod.com. So if you guys out there want to get in shape, you need a training routine, you need a diet program, just go to dadbod2ripbod.com and you can fill out a questionnaire and send it to me, email it to me, and then I will set up a personalized training and nutrition program. I've had some great success working with some guys out here in Tampa, Florida at the Powerhouse Gym Athletic Club. So I thought I would start my own website and get this thing going worldwide. So if you know anybody that's gotten out of shape or you guys want to get in shape yourself, you need a specific customized training and diet program, you can just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com or go directly to the website, dadbod2ripbod.com. All right. And if you listen to the podcast, be sure to leave a review on iTunes. We really appreciate that. We could always use your help with your reviews. It really helps with the show. And I also want to mention we're brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing they're there for you every step of the way. They also offer very competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So give them a call. Their direct office number is 813-922-8939, or you can go to their website, which is flalternativemeds.com, and talk to Jeff, or you can email Jeff at jeff@flalternativemeds.com. And again, if you want to call them directly, just call 813-922-8939, and they will get you set up. They're due out here in Tampa, Florida. They got a brand new office, but they will work with anybody in the United States. We are really wrapping up the episodes here on season 5 of the NABBA Universe. We're talking to a lot of great people, guys that I had heard about for many, many years and finally got a chance to talk to them, including John Citroni. That was great. And we also talked to Boyer Coe and John Torelli and John Brown, Lance Dreher, who I grew up watching in Chicago, and then today's guest, Roy Duvall. We're trying to talk to Tony Emmett, but he's hard to get a hold of. I think he's about 79 years old now. So I'm using my friend Cy Sweeney on Facebook to try and contact him. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to Tony Emmett, because I know he was around many years in the NABBA Universe, and he actually won the NABBA Universe in 1977, and he beat out Serge Nubre. So that was a big upset. He beat the great Serge Nubre. Hopefully we can talk to him. But next week we're going to be talking to Randy Roach. And Randy was the author of the books Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. Came out with 3 volumes of that book. And he's a great historian of the sport. So we're going to talk to Randy about the NABBA universe and about how Joe Weider was involved with that and Oscar Heidenstam. And we're also going to talk about the Sandow Trophy, which was actually given out to Steve Reeves at the very first NABBA universe in 1950, and how that became part of the Mr. Olympia. And they started using that for the Mr. Olympia trophy. So that's going to be a great interview. Randy's always a great interview because he has so much knowledge and so much inside information. So check that out next week on the Bodybuilding Legend Show. But right now we're going to hear from part two of our interview with Roy Duvall, 1974 NABBA Mr. Universe winner. Here you go. What was it like with the judging in NABBA? Because I know they did it. I was talking to Wayne Galash about this, and he said when they do the judging, it's just in a room. It's not on a stage. So it was totally different, you know, than most American shows are.
Yes, at first it was in a room. It was in a ballroom, actually.
Yeah.
And, yes, if the judges can see you, they can see you. Everybody's got the same either effect or non-effect, whatever. You know, there's nothing special for anyone there.
Right.
All the same. But later on, I think they started judging in theatres. So the judging would have been on the stage.
Okay.
I judged a couple of NABBA competitions, Mr. Universe competitions, and they were on the stage.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So in 1976, you went back and you went into the Pro Universe again. You got third place that year, correct?
Yes, I've just come back from South Africa, and I didn't know whether to compete now or not. And I was very disappointed with the way I looked. So I'm not saying that if I was in better condition, I would have placed higher.
Right.
It's just that I was disappointed myself that I didn't look as good as I could have looked.
Yeah. So Tony Emmett won your class, and Chris Dickerson got second to Tony Emmett, and you were third place.
Right.
Yeah. That was surprising that Tony beat Chris. That had to be the first time that happened, huh?
Yes. He beat Newbury, Serge Newbury.
Yeah, that was the next year, right, in 77?
Yeah.
What was Serge Newbury like? That he had to be an amazing physique, huh?
He had an amazing physique. He was a little bit light on the legs.
Yeah.
A little bit light on the legs, but physique-wise, you know, the pec and delt tying, you can't buy that.
Right.
Yeah, he looked better with his arms down. Anything with his arms down, whether it's a side muscular pose or whatever it was, when he put his arms up, he seemed to put in a little bit.
Okay.
Whereas Arnold put his arms up and his lats spread and chest got bigger.
Yeah, he was one of the iconic physiques of all time, though, so it had to be something to share the stage with him, right?
Yeah, the first competition, the universe that I saw in 1964, he was second in the professional to Earl Maynard.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he goes back quite a while.
Right, really. Right. Yeah, I know he was competing back in the 60s, so yeah.
Yeah. So that was 64.
You did a WABA competition also, right? WABBA, and Sergio Oliva was in it. Sergio Oliva and Tony Emmett. That was in 1977.
Yeah, that's that wasn't a good experience.
No,
that was not
good. What happened there?
Various things. It was things like in the interval between the judging and the show, they were selling T-shirts with the new Mr. Olympia printed on them, and it was Sergio Oliva's picture on it. Now, how did they know he was going to win?
Right.
They didn't get those printed in 5 minutes.
Right.
You know,
right.
They had to. It was, and with all due respect, Sergio Oliva was a fantastic physique, but he wasn't fantastic on that day.
Right.
He shouldn't have beat Tony Emmett.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, I saw the pictures. He looks pretty smooth.
Oh, smooth? When he did the little biceps, his pecs were wobbling.
Right.
Yeah, no respect for the judges. He was in the lineup. We're all lined up in the lineup. He's putting oil on.
In the lineup? Yeah, on stage. Yeah.
They asked for an abdominal pose, and he did a side chest. Wow. So to him, Serge, can you do an abdominal pose, please? And he just went...
Really? Did what he wanted to do, right?
I couldn't believe it. We were supposed to get expenses money, and we got an envelope with an IOU in it.
Really? Wow. Unbelievable. Did they ever pay you?
No. I don't print that bit because, you know, it's not a good memory.
Yeah, wow. So yeah, the next year you went back to the NABBA, and Bertel Fox was first and Serge was second, and Roy, and you were third.
Yeah, I was third. According to the health and strength, I was third.
Yeah.
But I received the second place trophy.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah, because actually, Serge Newbray, at the judging, pulled out.
Oh, really?
And he said, if I don't compete, I can't be beaten. He could feel that Fox was going to beat him.
Right.
And those were his words. He said, if I don't compete, I can't be beaten.
Hmm.
So he pulled out. And at the show, he was sitting in the audience.
Really? Wow. That's crazy.
I was second, but in the health and strength, because Wabba was fairly strong, I'm convinced that Oscar Heidenstam was scared of making an enemy of him, because then he would have IFBB and Wabba as enemies.
Yeah.
He was better off with at least one of them being a friend.
Right, right.
So I think he sucked up a bit to Newbray and said that he was second and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But I had second place trophy. Because my mother says to me, how did you get that? Because she read the article.
Right.
And I said, because I placed second. I said, so, right? Didn't finish competing. He would have been second.
Right. Do you think Bertel deserved to beat him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was quite friendly with Bertel.
Uh-huh.
I said to Bertel backstage, who do you think is going to win, Serge or me? And he just walked away. And he told me afterwards, he said, you don't know how much that did my head in. He said,
really? And you were just joking around. Like,
so insecure. And I said the same thing to Serge Newbray. I said, Serge, who's going to win, Bertel or me? And he started in French. He was going to hit me.
I'm surprised Serge pulled away from that or didn't even compete in the show. That's crazy. That just goes to show you. You know, I never heard that story before.
That's true. That is true. He pulled out before the end of the judging and said, if I don't compete, I can't win.
Yeah.
I can't lose.
Well, Bertel was amazing that year, though, too, right? I remember seeing pictures of that. He was incredible in 1978.
Yeah. Monster.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
I did quite a few guest spots with Bertel around the country. We became quite good friends, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He used to come out for a meal with my wife and myself. I was married back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was funny. Quite funny. He was in an Indian restaurant. He said, you got any English food? Yes, he said, good. He said, I don't trust you. He said, you all eat dogs. And I couldn't believe what he was saying.
So, Roy, in 1980, you started competing then as a professional with the IFBB, right?
Yes, I entered the Mr. Olympia, which I didn't intend to enter. I didn't prepare properly for it. Not that it made much difference.
Uh-huh.
But things blew up, and I felt I was obliged to. What happened, I just won the IFBB universe.
Yeah.
And because of that accident I had, I really trained my heart out for that competition.
Yeah.
And Paul Graham came to me, and he said, holding the Mr. Olympia next year, do you want to compete in it? And I, my words to him were, I said, at this moment in time, Paul, not really, you know. Because you imagine eating a big Christmas dinner, big Christmas lunch,
yeah.
And you're stuffed, you can't get more food in, and someone asks you what you want for tea that night.
Right.
Or what do you want for supper? You don't want anything.
Right,
you
know? Right.
So it's like that. But, so it didn't bother me whether I entered it or not.
Yeah.
And Julian Brumar phoned me from Belgium, and he said, you entered a Mr. Olympia. And I said, no. And this was shortly before the Olympia.
Okay.
I said, no. He said, why not? And I said, I haven't been invited, which was true.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing, I get a phone call from Ben Weider. And Weider said, what do you mean you haven't been invited? I said, Paul Grant asked me a few minutes after the Mr. Universe if I wanted to compete this year, and I said, at this moment in time, not really. He said, well, it doesn't matter whether you want to or not. He said, you're a current world champion. You must have an invite.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Back then, whoever won the Mr. Universe would automatically be invited to Mr. Olympia.
Yeah. So I started something off then, you know, and like, there's Bloomark phoning, there's Ben Weider phoning. They're both phoning Paul Graham and having a go at him. So
yeah.
I received the invites. I thought, well, I'd better go then.
Right.
And the trip was horrendous because of a war going on in the Middle East somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We had to fly down to, I think it was Dubai or somewhere like that, and then go on to Singapore.
Mm.
Well, because of this war going on, we had to fly back up around Egypt.
Oh, wow.
And then back to Singapore. So the flight took about 36 hours.
Jeez.
We stopped, you know, this like, one right. Place is a 6-hour stop over, and it took about 36 hours. I took some food to eat, but I didn't realize I'd be on the plane that long.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, plain food. And I was like a goldfish bowl when I got off, just full of water retention.
Yeah, right.
And it wouldn't go away no matter what I did. I tried, like, training and putting plastic bags around my waist and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and sweating.
Yeah.
But nothing seemed to work, so.
Hmm.
But it wouldn't have made any difference, you know. I think I placed 12 or 13. I know I tied with Casey Vieta.
Okay.
We tied for some place or other, but I can't remember if it was 12th or 13th. I think Samir Banu was 14th, Ken were 15th. But if I came in my best condition, I very much doubt if I would have played the first six.
Yeah, it was a very, very tough contest that year.
Oh, they're all there. They're all there.
Yeah.
And
weren't you standing next to Arnold in the lineup, Roy?
Yeah, I was standing between Boyko and Arnold. I picked the best players on the stage, didn't I?
Yeah, right. I remember that. I remember you standing right next to him.
Why couldn't I be at the other end? But we pulled the numbers out of a hat.
Yeah.
And what we had, that was our position. So it was fair. It wasn't fixed or anything like that, where you stand or...
Right.
You know.
So did you know Arnold was going in it when you made the trip over there?
No.
Okay.
He supposed to have gone over as a judge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
At least seven.
Tell me about that meeting before the... when Arnold all of a sudden showed up at the meeting and everybody knew he was going in it.
They knew he was going in it before the meeting. That's why the meeting was held.
Oh, okay.
Because before that, there were two weight categories.
Yeah.
In the Mr. Olympia. And some of the guys there felt that it would be an advantage to Arnold if there's two weight categories, because he's definitely going to win the heavyweight.
Yeah.
No matter who's there. But if it's overall, it'll be more difficult. And why have an overall? The best man should win.
Right.
So had a meeting to vote on. And we were all asked why we thought there should be one or two classes.
Okay.
And the majority vote was that there should be one class.
Okay.
And that pissed Arnold off of there.
Okay.
Because he was in the idea to have two classes so that Franco could win a class. years before.
Right, right.
He was the full paid off.
Him and Mike Mentzer got into an argument then, that day?
Yeah, because Mike Mentzer's reason for voting for one class was that the year before, the only chance he had to be compared with Frank Zane was once in the absolute final.
Right.
And Arnold said, you didn't win because you had a fat belly.
Oh, I see. Okay. And that's when they got...
Mike went for him, and Bill Pearl and Ben Weider got between him, and Ken Waller jumped up, Franco jumped up. And
really?
Chris Demichelino jumped up.
Wow.
Because, I don't know why, he doesn't like Franco, so I thought, well, here we go.
It's going to be a big fight. You know? Right.
But it calmed down. It all calmed down.
Wow. So what were your thoughts on that show, right? Because I know today, even today, many years later, that's still one of the most controversial Mr. Olympias ever.
Well, Bill Pearl was backstage, and he had wearing a tuxedo because he was supposed to have done the commentary. I think it was for ABC.
Okay.
Okay. And I said to him, why are you back here, Bill? I thought you was doing the commentary. And he said, I'm having nothing to do with this fiasco.
Hmm.
I said, oh. So he said, what do you think? I said, I think Arnold's going to be a little bit disappointed. He said, no, he isn't. And that's why I'm having nothing to do with it.
Hmm. So Bill knew that Arnold was going to win.
I had phone calls from Mike Mensah telling me that he had newspaper reports from Australia where a court case was going on between the people who were making Pumpkin Iron, whoever they were, I forget now, and ABC, because ABC had bought the film rights.
Okay.
And this company were there filming what was supposed to, or what was going to be, Pumpkin Iron 2.
Right.
And it came out in court that Paul Graham knew that Arnold was competing 7 months before.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. And Mike said, I want you to boycott Arnold's show, anything Arnold does. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know.
He said this after the 1980 Mr. Olympia.
Yeah. And he never competed again after that.
Yeah, I know. That was his last contest, yeah.
Yeah, he was disgusted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you feel Arnold should have placed? Where would you have placed him, being up on stage with him and everything?
It's when you're on stage, you can't really see it the way the judges
can. Yeah, that's true.
Looking at people backstage, I thought that he was lucky to place higher than fifth.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
And I was an Arnold fan. I mean, like, I grew up in bodybuilding with Arnold sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was first started training, he was only 19, and he was second in the Mr. Universe, and, you know, I grew up with him, and he was like, me, like an idol sort of thing. I was quite sad to see him compete, looking the way he did, because he wasn't the old Arnold. In the photographs, he looked fantastic.
Yeah, he does look good in the photographs.
And the movie that was banned, he still made use of. He called it the Total Rebuild or something. So he still used the footage of it, so he earned money from it.
What did he look like in person, Paul? What was he lacking that we don't see in the photos?
What do you mean at in Australia?
Yeah. When you saw him in Australia, you said in person he didn't look good, but
he looked much smaller, shall we say.
Okay.
But he still, in the photographs, he looks the biggest guy on stage.
Yeah.
Was really, I think the two biggest guys on stage was Dennis Tinarino and Roger Walker.
Yeah.
I thought Roger Walker was hard done by.
He was what?
Hard done by. I thought he should have placed higher than he did.
Okay.
Should have been done better. He looked very, very good.
What about Frank Zane? How did he look?
He looked incredible. He looked a little bit leaner, but he had an accident.
Yeah.
Obviously, he'd been in hospital, whatever. But condition-wise, he looked as though he'd been carved out of glass.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How about Chris Dickerson?
Chris Dickerson looked very, very good.
Yeah.
I felt if either Boyer Coe, Mike Mensa, or Chris Dickerson, or even Frank Zane, if any of those four won, I don't think it could be disputed.
Right.
Like, the difference between them must be less than 0.5%.
Really?
If anything.
Yeah.
So that was my opinion.
Yeah. Who would you have placed in first?
Hard to say.
Yeah.
I think, well, as good as Frank Zane was, I thought on that day, Mike Mensa and Boyer Coe were better. I wouldn't like to split the two.
Yeah.
I'd have a nightmare trying to judge that.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear people's opinions who were there, you know, because you read so much about it. And like you said, people see the photographs and they make their own opinions. But I like to hear from people who were actually there to, you know, hear what they thought.
I must say, this is definitely the truth. The photographs do Arnold a lot of credit.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at the photographs, you could see how he could have won. You know, you know he's not his best, but you could still see that how he should have won.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't compete in the IFBB Mr. Universe, or Mr. Olympia the next year, right, in 1981?
No, I went back to NABBA.
Okay.
The reason I went back to NABBA was I did three guest appearances for IFBB the year that I was there, current Mr. Universe. One in England, one in Germany, four, one in France and one in Holland.
Okay.
But I turned down 10 NABBA ones, turned 10 NABBA invites.
Wow, okay.
Because I weren't allowed to appear off stage.
Yeah.
So I wrote a letter to Ben Weeder and told him this situation and asked him, what harm would I be doing the IFBB if I guest posed at a non-sanctioned IFBB show, but as long as they introduce me as Roy Duval, IFBB world champion.
Yeah.
And he wrote back and said, if you compete in a non-sanctioned show, you'll be suspended. So I said, but I'm not doing IFBB any harm. In fact, it's an advert for IFBB, sure.
Yeah.
And he just repeated what he said.
Okay.
So I wrote him a letter and said, okay, I'll resign from the IFBB. And he telephoned me. And he said, please don't do that, Will. I said, look, Mr. Weeder, I've lost 10 shows last year, and it's going to be the same again this year.
Yeah.
So he said, well, you'll be suspended if you appear on a non-IFBB show. And I said, well, I'll resign. And then I was told that I was suspended from the IFBB. I thought, how can they suspend someone who's not a member? But they can do anything he wanted, you know.
Yeah. So you went back to NABBA then in 1981.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I entered the Pro Mr. Universe and Robbie Robinson won that, and Dave Johns second.
How did Robbie look at you?
Robbie was smooth. I was disappointed how he looked, because I saw him earlier in the year guest posing at the Mr. Britain.
Okay.
And he looked amazing. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to beat that guy. But at the Mr. Universe, he was smooth.
Okay.
He was smaller and smooth. He told me that, in his opinion, he felt that I should win.
Really?
So I said, well, thanks. I said, the judges didn't think that.
Right.
But you can't, I mean, his shape, his overall shape.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, it is amazing.
Yeah.
And I should have been under lights, he is going to look the best.
Yeah. How did Dave Johns look?
To be honest, I thought I'd beaten Dave Johns.
Oh, really? Okay.
I really did, but whatever will be. I didn't. So, no disrespect to Dave Johns, and I'm sure that the judges had nothing to gain by it, because there's no monetary reward for them or anything like that. So I'm sure the judging was fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is my opinion. I thought I was in better shape.
Okay. And then you went in the next year also in 1980. Was that 82 or 83?
I can't remember. I know, 82. I carried on longer than I should have done. But it was hard to let go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So in 82, Eduardo Kowak was the winner, and you got third place in that year also.
Yes, that's right, yes. 82, I was third to Kowak and Carl Skalak.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the guy who took me over to USA for Franklin Page.
Yeah.
Over to USA for the Mr. World. I was talking to him. He said, "Who's there?" I said, "Kowak and Skalak." He said, "Skalak?" He said, "He's fat." He said, 2 weeks ago, he's fat." I said, "He isn't." he can't have got in condition 2 weeks. I said, "Well, whatever length of time it took him," I said, "he's in condition." I wish he was fat.
What did you think of Kowak? Because he won the Mr. Universe quite a few times.
He won it a few times. He had an amazing physique, really.
Yeah.
And he was more hard. He looked rock hard under the lights. He just, up close, you could see he was quite soft.
Wow.
But he had incredibly deep separation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like absolutely incredible deep separation.
His abs were really separated. And his legs, too, yeah.
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 Yeah, anything. I mean, the overall picture is great, isn't it? A bit like Ronnie Robinson, the overall picture.
Yeah.
If you pick faults or whatever, here, there, or whatever, it's that overall picture that's really counts, isn't it?
Right, right. And what did you think of Cal Skalak?
He was good, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit light on the calf, but fantastic arms.
Yeah.
And he was in shape. He was rock hard.
Okay. Hmm.
But he was a nice guy, I thought, anyway. The first many time I've met him, and I thought he was a nice, pleasant guy to be with, quite friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a kind of a short career in bodybuilding, but I always really liked his physique. I liked when he was competing in the IFBB, and I always thought he had a really good physique. Like you said, a little light on the legs, but great upper body.
Yes, yeah. Great back as well.
Great back, yeah.
Yeah. He has a bicep, his back looked like the map of the world.
Really? Wow. So you competed in the following year also too, right, Roy, in 1984 when Kowak won again and Massaroni was second and Lance Dreher was third?
Yeah, I must have done if you say so. I only try to remember the ones I win.
Yeah.
Try to forget the others. But I as I said before, I carried on longer than I should have done.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't seem to be able to achieve the same condition and quality that I could when I was younger.
Yeah. How old were you then in 1984, right?
84, I'd have been 39, getting on for 40. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What do you think your best shape was out of all the shows you did? Because you had a long career, but what do you think your best shape was?
I think it'll be close between the 78 NABBA Universe, the 79 IFBB Universe,
mm-hmm.
and the 1980 Canada Cup.
Oh, okay.
I got in good shot condition for that. I think some of the best photographs I've had taken were at the Canada Cup.
Okay. Who won that contest?
Chris Dickerson.
Okay. Yeah, he was in really good shape for that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Boy was second.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So how about, of all the guys you competed against, because I'm looking at the list here, you competed against Frank Zane and Chris Dickerson, Boyer, Arnold, Sergio Oliva, Serge Nubre. So which guys were really impressive to you? Because you really competed against some of the legends in the sport.
but obviously always Arnold, and they're all impressive to me. Except Sergio, the time that I competed with him, but
yeah,
I knew that he looked bad then, but he, there's times where he looked absolutely, according to the photographs, he looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, especially the Mr. Olympia in Germany.
Yeah, that's in Germany, yeah.
Photographs,
I know, amazing. Did you get to see him in 71 when Bill Pearl beat him?
Yes.
You did see that show? Okay.
I saw that show, yes. I was watching that, and Bill Pearl, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I think he was a surprise to everyone.
Really, yeah.
Because, no disrespect to anyone, but just looking, he made... Now, Reg Park was a big Herculean man, yeah?
Right, right.
He made Reg look skinny and Sergio look fat.
Wow.
He just looked absolutely perfect.
Yeah, yeah. If Arnold would have competed...
Sorry?
If Arnold would have competed that year, do you think Bill would have beat Arnold?
No.
No? Okay. You think Arnold still would have won, huh?
71, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. That's another contest that I always ask people opinions of, you know, that saw that show.
Yeah, well, I'm going from what Oscar Heidenstein went to a show in Ireland a week after the Universe, and Arnold was the guest star for Ivan Dunbar's show.
Yeah.
He was friends with Ivan Dunbar.
Yeah.
And he said if Joe Reed had allowed me to compete, would I have beaten Bill Pearl? And Oscar tried to be diplomatic because he didn't know what would come out in media or whatever. He said it would have been very, very close. But he said to me, honestly, he said, nobody would beat Arnold at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. I think I saw those pictures you're talking about, and I remember he looked amazing in those pictures, in that guest posing he did. So what was the highlight of your career, Roy, in your long career in bodybuilding? What do you think was the highlight?
I think the highlight was winning the AAU to the world.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Because I missed the Britain also.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying to Len Sell very early in my career, do you think I'll be good enough ever to win the Mr. Britain? And he said, it's not impossible, but I doubt it.
Hmm.
Then about 6 months later, he came up to me and he said, I think you will win the Mr. Will win the Mr. Britain one day, he said, because you're crazy. Because apparently I had the flu and I was sick, and I kept going outside to be sick, back out to the lavatory to be sick, and come back in, carried on training. So.
Wow. So he saw your determination, huh?
Yeah. But yes, I placed fifth one year, and the following year third, and the following year second. The following year, will I win or not?
Yeah.
It's easier to go down than to go up, sort of thing. And
Yeah.
So I was elated when I won that. It was something. I never dreamed I could ever win the Mr. Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that maybe one day I could be good enough to win the Mr. Britain.
Okay.
So it was an elation, but it was a little bit of an anticlimax winning Mr. Universe because it didn't feel as good as when I won the Britain. It didn't feel as good as when I won the AAU Mr. World.
Yeah.
It took me almost an hour to get off the stage after I won it. People wanted to take photographs off,
autographs.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, you know.
Yeah.
And, Big Lou Ferrigno was there. And he came up and he said, you look really good. And I said, crikey, Lou, I saw you a couple of years ago. I heard, you look massive. He said, I'm weighing 320 pounds.
Yeah. And that was at the Mr. World contest. Wow. Well, that had also feel good going to another country, and then everybody knew who you were, and you beat everybody, the best of America, you know, all the top amateurs in America.
It was a surprise that I was known.
Yeah, yeah.
The IAU judging, that was incredibly thorough.
Yeah,
and allowed to have music, no music,
mm-hmm.
and the audience were not allowed to clap.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, the guy said, if anybody claps, we'll clear the room.
Wow, really? No kidding.
Yeah, because it's like an advantage. It can persuaded the judges to think differently.
Yeah. That was at the pre-judging or just the pre-judging?
At the pre-judging, yes.
Okay. Wow. They were really strict about it then.
Very, very strict.
Yeah. What year was that, Roy? 71?
73.
Oh, 73. Okay. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So what are you doing now, Roy?
I'm retired.
Retired? Okay.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
3 years old, so I retired 3 years ago, but I was only working, I was working for myself, selling my own brand of protein powders.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sports nutrition, like creatine, monohydrate, etc. And when I had the heart attack, I couldn't recover from the amount of hours I was working and driving. So it was just one man show, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I was phoning all my customers, I was getting their orders in, I was delivering them, I was unloading protein when it came to me.
Yeah.
And it took too much out of me, so I cut right back on it. So for the last few years, I only worked for myself part-time.
Okay. When did you have a heart attack, Roy?
2006.
Okay. Wow, that was a while ago then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Fortunate enough, I've not had a recurrence of it, except that I do get tired easy. I've only got two coronary arteries open. One's closed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And a third of my heart was destroyed. It's
really?
Out.
Wow.
Heart issue, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you feeling better now?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge life change, though, you know.
Yeah.
Not being able to do things you could do like a few weeks before and things like that. And,
yeah.
Earlier middle of last year, I was diagnosed with polyalgia rheumatica. My whole body was paralyzed, couldn't move.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
And they took me to the hospital, and they put me on these corticosteroids.
Uh-huh.
And they put my face back and put on weight, but the pain completely gone. I was in incredible pain.
Wow.
I couldn't tap on and off, you know, the water tap. I had to get my taps changed with levers so I could just knock it with my elbow or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How long did that last?
Well, that lasted until they put me on these corticosteroids. So I had it for about a month.
Okay.
Where I was very, disabled, so to speak.
Jeez.
I could walk with crutches, but that was about all. And then that was tearing my shoulders apart.
Yeah. Well, those corticosteroids are very catabolic also, correct?
Yes, yeah. I've got another 6 months to be on them. I'm on a reducing dose.
Okay.
So every 4 weeks I reduce by 1 milligram.
Okay.
Until I'm off, and I've got about 6 months left.
Okay, but at least that condition went away then.
It's gone away, but they can't cure it. It can come back.
Oh, really? Wow, that's scary.
Yeah.
It
can come back. If I do something that raises my, what they call inflammation levels in the blood.
Yeah, yeah.
The inflammation steps. And if there is anything that raises that, then it will come back.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining me, and it was a great pleasure to talk to you. Like I said, I got a chance to see you compete in the Mr. Universe that 1 year, so it was really great to hear about your stories in bodybuilding, and thank you for joining us on this Bodybuilding Legends podcast.
You're welcome. I'm very flattered and honored that you feel like I'm good enough to do this interview. So.
Yeah, it was a pleasure talking to you.
But it's okay.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
All right, Roy. Take care now, buddy.
Bye.
All right, bye. All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks to Roy Duvall for another great interview. And join us next week when we'll be joined by Randy Roach of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors. I want to thank our sponsors, Old School Labs, Florida Alternative Medicine, and Redcon One for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.